Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Gernard Reed with the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because it's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I'm not talking about a church and a building as such. I'm talking about that where we are and the Spirit of God is. Somebody said there's liberty, but where we are, that's where Jesus is. If you are a believer, sanctified, set free in with the power of the Holy Ghost, then where we are, that's where the Spirit of God is. So I'm glad to greet you one more time. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We're proud and glad to come to you on this sixth day of September on a Tuesday evening. And so we said last night that was our inaugural meeting on a weeknight. And so we are now here every weeknight, Monday through Friday, for the foreseen future. We're also here at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays, as we've been for a long time. We precede and partner with the Fivefold Ministry and the Apostle Margie Mercer. And so same is true. We've set it up so that she comes right after Jeremiah Speaks again tonight. And then on last night, if you were here, then you know that we had a great experience. We were able to interview Apostle Margie Mercer, and we were able to follow up on her special assignment that she had for the last 2 weeks. And so tonight we have something a little different. We said last night that we need you to share, get the word out. And so if you have whatever card, a copy, or whatever you use to get onto this broadcast, the number 319-527-6036, we want you to share that with as many people as possible and tell them that we are a new broadcast and that we are trying to achieve great results in the name of the Lord. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things. We're going to fumble the ball occasionally. But we believe that if God sent us forth, we will not return unto him void, but will accomplish wherewith he has sent us. I'll give you some contact numbers there. Our phone number, it remains, it always is, 804-313-7853. Again, it's 804-313-7853. You're welcome to call, preferred if you text. And if you're going to call, you might want to text before you call so we'll make sure we don't miss your call. The email address is go teach and baptize, all one word spelled out. It's a GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE at gmail.com. Go teach and baptize at gmail.com. We are once again glad to be with you tonight, and tonight we have a word from the Lord I am Gernard Reed. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And we ask if you'll get your pen and your pencil, make your notes or whatever, scream and shout at home, say amen every now and then. I just know when you're saying amen and when you're not. We're going to have a good time on this evening. And a lady asked me earlier, I ran into this lady, and she said, hey, I heard the broadcast, and was that you singing? And so she requested that I sing a piece, and I said, let me see if I can find a piece to sing Cornfield's song. And so this is the piece. I said, would this be all right? When I'm gone, when I'm gone, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Going to miss me by my walk, going to miss me by my talk, and you're going to miss me when I'm gone. She said, wait a minute, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not a gospel song. And I said, yeah, it is. And John 14, what I preached about on Sunday, John 14, Jesus said, I'm going away. And when I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be there as well. When I'm gone, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. But I'm coming back. And so she said, no, that's not it. So I'm going to sing a Cornfield song. Then join with me at home, if you will. Sing along with the Cornfield song. There'll be a test later in the month to see if you know the words to the song. The song is really simple. Well, I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Said I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Said I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Oh, Lord, remember me. Said I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Yes, I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Said I'm up on the building, and I won't come down. Oh, Lord, remember me. Well, I'm working for my master, and I won't come down. Yes, I'm working for my master, and I won't come down. Yes, I'm working for my master, and I won't come down. Oh, Lord, remember me. There will be a test on Friday. If you have the email, go teachandbaptize@gmail.com. The song is Up on the Building. It says, I'm up on the building and I won't come down. And I want to know, what scripture is that taken from? Where in the Bible did that particular Cornfield song come from? So go teachandbaptize@gmail.com or 804-313-7853. Email it to me. What we're going to do on Fridays is it's going to take a while, but we're going to set up a question and answer. And so we take questions anytime through Go Teaching and Baptize. And see, what that allows me to do is go look up the answer. And I don't dare say that I know all the answer to the Bible's questions. If you ask me how to find the Lord's Prayer in the Bible and which psalm is the 23rd psalm, I know that one. I know it's between the 22nd and the 24th psalm, and I can find in Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer. But generally, if you have a question that's hard for you, it might be hard for me too. But we're going to start a question and answer. And we can do it now through email. If you email or text me your concerns, things you'd like to hear about, we'll talk about them and we will discuss them. But tonight, let's get into the Word. The Word of God is ready to be preached. And so tonight is an interesting topic. I kind of like this topic, if nothing else. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13, 18, and 19. And actually, I'm going to read 13 through 19. So it's St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, 13th verse, and the 18th through the 19th verses. And it reads, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I'm going to read also 14 through 17. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then tonight's focus, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the word of God to the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, we thank you for this word that you've given us. You know that when your word goes out, it will not return to be void. We ask that you will sanctify the preacher, open the ears of the hearer, bless the hearers as well. We pray, Father, that we can come together and reason in your word, understand more about you by reading and studying your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray and thank you. Amen. Matthew 16, 13 through 18, with the focus being on 18 and 19, when I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the focus being here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm using for a subject tonight, dealing with toxic people. I know somebody knows what I'm talking about when I say toxic people, and that's why we're using that as a subject, dealing with toxic people. There is an annual occurrence on social media round about December. In this annual occurrence on social media round about December, scores of people begin talking about what they will do to improve themselves in the coming year. I wish somebody would go with me here. Some call it a resolution. Others a declaration. They begin to talk about things which they can do to improve their lives. Lose a few pounds, or read some books, walk a few miles per day. But most of the time, the conversation seems to always go back to this year. I'm going to cut off the toxic people in my life. Now, I'm on social media, and on the social media that I operate in, the pages that Jeremiah Speaks operates in is Facebook. And I operate in Facebook because one of my high schoolers told me some years ago, all of the old people are on Facebook, so I'm right where I need to be. And on Facebook, surrounded by friends that I got to choose, And people send me hundreds to be my friend. I don't know them, so they're not my friends. Folk that are questionable character will want to be my friend, and I look up their page to see if they cuss on Facebook. I look up their page to see if they tell dirty jokes. I look up their page to see if they're always mad at somebody on Facebook. I want folk that are happy. I want folk that are about kingdom living. And so now I got a Facebook page, and my folk that are my friends, over 700 of them, are about kingdom living. But every December, there are some folks that are talking about, I'm going to get rid of the toxic people in my life. That's the one. That's the one. Toxic people. They get on our nerves, don't they? Toxic people are trying to take over our world, in fact. All they think about is what they can get out of you. Somebody say amen if you can. They are so vain, they probably think this sermon is about them. Toxic people. Lyle Opelinesma has published his top six types of toxic people. Lyle has put together a list of what he calls toxic people, and just for me in time to preach a sermon called Dealing with Toxic People. Lyle says number one is the narcissist. Now, the narcissist only cares about him or herself. The narcissist lacks empathy. They don't have any feeling for what you feel. And then the narcissist truly believes that he or she is better than everybody else. Say amen at home if you can. Somebody go with me if you can. The next one, Lyle says number two is the energy vampire. Now, the energy vampire, that's quite an illustration, isn't it? But the energy vampire drains you of your energy and overwhelms you. The energy vampire generates problems. You hear what I said? If there are no problems for them to jump on, they generate their own problems and feed on negativity. The energy vampire criticizes and bullies other people often on Facebook. Then number three is the controller. Now, we know the controller. The controller tries to control everything around them. They need to be in charge of every decision. They'll block those things that went down when they weren't there to block them in the first place. The controller makes you feel like you can't do anything right. Lord have mercy. And number four is the compulsive liar. Probably nobody listening know what, no? The compulsive liar constantly tells little white lies. The compulsive liar manipulates and gaslights you. The compulsive liar is the master of the guilt trip. They live to make you feel guilty for what you've done that they only wish they could do. Number five, Lyle says, is the drama magnet. They feed off gossip and drama all day long, constantly keeping it going. Take this story over here and tell it to you. Go to the next stop, tell the same story. Next stop, tell the same story. Whoops, somebody reacted to the story. Go there and get the new story. Take the new story to the last stop and then to the stop that was before the last stop, keeping the drama going all day long. Go in there and get a good night's rest. Get up tomorrow and start all over again. That's the drama magnet. Drama seems to follow them everywhere they go. I wonder why. They put you in an uncomfortable position in the middle of their drama. And then number six is the green-eyed. Green-eyed, you know, green. Green-eyed stands for jealousy, envy. Green-eyed cannot be happy for other people's good fortune. Remember, we said a few weeks ago that one of the things that identifies a Christian is that a Christian has the capacity to get as excited about your success as you are and to be excited about your success just like it's their own genuine success. We said that a Christian can generate their own blessings. And how does a Christian generate their own blessings? By blessing somebody else. Because a Christian that's in touch with who they are, every time they see other people getting blessed, they bless. So if I want a blessing, I give you $10. You thank me for the blessing. You're excited about the blessing, and now I'm excited too. So we can actually generate our own blessing. But then there's the green-eyed. They cannot be happy for other people's good fortune. It bothers them that you got blessed. They play the victim, and they minimize other people to feel better about themselves. The only way they can talk about how good they're doing is by prefacing it with how bad you're doing in their eyes. That's a list of six types of toxic people compiled by Lyle Opelinensma. That's Lyle's list. What does Lyle know? Lyle's list says the narcissist, the energy vampire, the controller, we're talking about toxic people, the compulsive liar, wow, the drama magnet, and the green eye. You know what? Lyle may be onto something here anyhow. Now, I think I know some of these people. Let the church say amen. I'm pretty sure I know some of these people. I think we all know some of these people. I think some of us are some of these people, Lord have mercy. Nevertheless, toxic people. So the background of this story takes us to Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is approaching a turn. It's about to make a turn for the whole ministry. He's been teaching in parables and performing signs and wonders for 3 years now. He and the 12 are fresh off the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus has begun to spend money, 4,000, not the 5,000. They've already done 5,000 a long time ago. They just fed 4,000 and took up seven baskets of fragments. Let the church say amen. Jesus has begun to spend more time spoon feeding his 12 disciples. In other words, he wants to make sure they get it all now. And when they started out, they were rough. Not around the edges. They were just rough. And they were following Jesus, and I'm sure once a week or even daily, they would say, why am I out here? I don't understand this. I don't have any education. Nobody, I'm not cut out for this. But now they're at the point where they can see We're going somewhere with this. We're not quite sure where we're going. We don't understand a lot of what he's saying and doing. We wish we could be like him. We don't understand why he doesn't do more to his detractors, why he doesn't curse a few people along the way. But we're trying to learn about Jesus. And that's the point where Jesus steps in and begins to spoon feed them, simply meaning that he had been telling parables all along, but now at this point, he'll stop and explain why the parable. He'll tell them, in fact, when the parable of the sower, they said to him afterwards, "Master, we don't understand what all that means. Can you explain that parable to us again?" He said to them, "Well, I tell parables for this purpose. I tell parables so that those that don't know won't know. And those that do know will know." And Jesus is now spoon-feeding them at every stop. So he takes his 12 disciples. He takes 12 fine Jewish men off the beaten path to a place called Caesarea Philippi, a place where no good Jew should be caught dead. They won't have to worry with the Pharisees coming out here, because Caesarea Philippi is not a place where religious folk go. There was no synagogue in Caesarea Philippi. It was a place where what goes on in Caesarea Philippi stays in Caesarea Philippi. Yet Jesus had brought his 12 to this place. Jesus had led the 12 to that part of your city or town where your mama told you to steer clear of. Your parents told you to avoid that place at all costs. But now Jesus has taken his 12 off the beaten path out to Caesarea Philippi. Now, what could be so bad about this place? It was a town dedicated to the idolatrous worship of the Greek god Pan, P-A-N, Pan. Pan was the unsophisticated Greek god of fertility. It was a town steeped in idolatry and diametrically opposed to the law of Moses. Let the church say amen. It was a town steeped in idolatry. Jeremiah speaks ministry is designed, set up, and birthed to address idolatry in church. And so that is right up our alley, is that Jesus has dared to take his disciples off the beaten path to a woe-be-gone place called Caesarea Philippi, that's given to idols. And then we get into the story. Many already know the story. Jesus takes his disciple off the beaten path to Caesarea Philippi. He asked them in Matthew 16:13, "Whom do men say that I am?" And the disciples took to naming dead people. They name all these dead people that were presumably resurrected. Some said he was Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or others of the prophets. But Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus then gave Simon a new name. You know you have the right, you know you got the right answer when your leader gives you a new name. He gave him a new name, The Rock. Simon was now surnamed Peter, and Simon became The Rock. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "And so he's saying, I say also unto thee," wait a minute. Jesus and the 12 are at the height of a growing ministry. Jesus takes them off the beaten path to Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And then Jesus comes behind their answers with, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" And Peter makes the grand declaration, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus gives Peter a new name. And when they return from this class, they will never be the same. That takes us into our text. Well, I've got to move on now. We get to our text where Jesus says in Matthew 16:18b, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so the first thing that we look at here is upon this rock. The church is built on the rock.
The church is built on the rock. Yeah, the church is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, but Jesus is saying, my church will be built on the rock. Peter, you are a rock, but you're not the rock. Peter, the church will be built on the rock, Caesarea Philippi, a rocky, woebegone place that's dedicated to Pan. Caesarea Philippi, the rock, a place of sin where no good Jew should be found. Caesarea Philippi, my church will be built in the midst of sin. Can I say it again? Wherever the sin is, that's where my church will be. I'm not talking about the building. The church is a called out community of believers. My community of believers need to congregate where the sin is, right in the midst of the sin. Not on Church Street, but on Sin Street. Not on Church Street, but on Toxic Avenue. In the world, but not of the world. Stands out like a steeple. I'll never forget the first time we got to Hartford, Connecticut, and we were coming along on the interstate, and we looked ahead, and it said Hartford like 2 miles or something like that, and you could see all the steeples across the town, the city of Hartford. What a beautiful sight. My church will stand out like a steeple in the city, not the building, but the people who are the called out community. The second thing we look at is the gates of hell. He says, on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church right in here in the midst of the sin of places like Caesarea Philippi. That's where the church will be. And then it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, guess what? That was a legendary place in Caesarea Philippi that was given to the god, the Greek god called Pan, P-A-N, and then across from the monument to Pan, the idol to Pan, was a place that, a cave, where they said don't go in there because nobody's ever come back. And the cave has within it a bottomless pit. So if you fool around and fall in that cave, you're going to go into the bottomless pit and just fall forever. And that's called the gates of hell. Jesus looks in that direction perhaps and says, not even the gates of hell will prevail against my church. I don't care what the rumor is. I don't care what the legend is. They won't prevail against my church. I got to move on. Caesarea Philippi was a toxic place. Caesarea Philippi was full of toxic people, narcissists, energy vampires, controllers, liars, drama magnets, and green eyes. Guess what? The church of the living and true God has been given the authority of Jesus. Authority to exist in the midst of sin and pull sinners out of the fire and the grips of the gates of hell. The church has been given authority to bind and loose. To whatsoever the church in the name of Jesus looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever the church binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. God has given that authority to the church. This scripture, Matthew 16:19, is so powerful that Matthew quotes it again in 18:18. The church has unlimited power. We are not a call as a church to avoid places like Caesarea Philippi. We are called to go to places like Caesarea Philippi. We are called to be the church in the midst of a sinful world. We are called to let our light shine even when nothing else is shining in that particular part of the town, because God has already recognized that there's somebody there that needs the church. I wish I had a witness in here. There's somebody over there that needs the church. Go where the gossip is and don't gossip. Go where the sin is and don't sin. Go where the sin is and stand out. It's a city that's set on a hill to not be ashamed. We're going to light up our lights and go where the sin is and attract folk and pull folk out of the fire. I got to move on. My time is up. So I got to say this much, that the church is called not to avoid toxic people. The church is called to save toxic people. The church is called to be the conduit for salvation of those that don't know the Lord, regardless of where they are. You stand to get more people saved if you go where the unsaved people are than you stand in the safety of the church. But let me say this about the church, that when we decide that we are blessed and sent by God to go and relieve sinners of their sin and lead them to Christ and to go to Caesarea Philippi, we can't stay there too long. We have to leave Caesarea Philippi, go back to the church, and be around folk that believe what we believe, strong-willed folk in the Lord get refueled and re-energized and then go back and save some more sinners. That is our call. I need to cut it off here, but we are called to deal with toxic people by being who we are in the presence of toxic people, using the gifts that God gave us in the presence of toxic people, winning over toxic people one at a time, because some of us have a testimony. We used to be toxic people. I'm about to go overtime into five-fold ministry broadcast, but I need to close out by saying this about repentance. Repentance is that thing that precedes sin. God showed me a vision. I had a vision some years ago. A man was taking a shower, and he had a bar of soap. He had a bar of soap in the shower, and the bar of soap was brand new and still in the package. And the man had the bar of soap, and it said on the bar of soap, known to kill up to 2 million germs. The bar of soap is capable of, in one shower, one bath, killing over 2 million germs. But guess what? The man didn't know how to use the bar of soap. The bar of soap was still in the wrapper. And as long as your soap is still in the wrapper, it won't kill any germs. It'll only collect germs. But then I think about what happens when the man takes the bar of soap. One swipe can kill one germ, and the same swipe can kill two million germs. So then I thought about, God said, think about repentance. Think about repentance. That's what repentance does. Repentance is the key. It opens up God's grace. See, God's grace is in a wrapper given to you. Grace is here for everybody that believes that if you will accept God's grace, it will wash away one sin or 1 million sins or 2 million sins. But if grace is still in the wrapper, it washes away no sins for you. So how do we get grace out of the wrapper? I'm glad you asked. Somebody got to repent. Repentance is the key that opens us to grace. For when we repent, we take grace out of the wrapper. When we open the soap up, it is now capable of washing away millions of sins at one swipe. When we open the grace up, it is possible of washing away 1 million sins in one swipe. Soap washes away germs. Repentance and grace wash away sin. I say to somebody today that if you know who you are, what you've done, go before the Lord and do some repentance. See, want his grace, make a way out of no way, and then prepare you to go in the presence of toxic people and be who God called you to be. This is the word of God for the people of God. Even so saith the Spirit. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow night. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Heaven smile upon you.
God bless you so much. We thank Reverend Reed for that beautiful illustration that we should use the soap to wash away our sins. God bless you again. This is the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. You just heard Jeremiah Speaks with the moderator, Reverend Reed himself. And we're just going to play a few selections through the week just to relax you, to make sure that you enjoy fixing that good meal, and also just fellowshipping and worshiping God. Each week we'll be coming on behind Jeremiah Speaks to exalt, edify, and encourage the things of God. I'm going to play what was played yesterday that you can understand how we love to worship God. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you, and let us sit back and enjoy worship. Amen. So much for Jeremiah's speech. Again, we just heard Jeremiah speak with Reverend Reed. God bless you. You're listening to this hour of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We would like you to sit back, relax, and just enjoy worshiping God. And you know our motto, if God can do it, then it can't be done. We love the Lord. We would like to edify, exalt, and encourage and promote the very things of God. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Amen. About the name of Jesus. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We ask that you just sit back and relax and abase yourself as we go into the inner courts to glorify our Lord. If you would like to reach us, our P.O. Box is 9786, that's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. That is the Fivefold Ministry. God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, to do. There is nobody like our Jesus. There is nobody like our Lord. You know, that is so true. It is so beautiful. You just have to continue to have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. It's beautiful when you can just praise the Father and say, Father, let your powers flow. Let's hear a tune by James Fortune and Let Your Powers Fall. Amen. One thing I love that the songwriter said is that, God, you fight the battles for me. Good God Almighty. Isn't that beautiful? When you can just turn it over to God and say, God, you fight the battles. You know, we're supposed to lay it at the foot of the cross, and if God can't do it, it can't be done, because we love the Lord. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Let us sit back, relax, and worship God. Amen.
I want us to worship God for just a moment. We talked about one sound. Everybody say one sound. There is a kingdom sound. There is a kingdom sound. Everybody say that. There is a kingdom sound. Say it again. There is a kingdom sound. And I want you to understand this, that there is always a sound that precedes a move of God. Everybody say that. There's always a sound that precedes the move of God. Whenever you will find deliverance, wherever you will find healing, wherever you find a move of God, it is always associated with a sound. I want us to take just maybe 30 seconds, and we're gonna sing this song. We're gonna raise it as an offering to the Lord. But I want us to take about maybe just 30 seconds, if you will. Brother, I just want you to minister on that guitar. I want you to raise your hands in His presence, and let's just worship God all over this room. Come on, everybody, let's worship God all over this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have
for death cannot hold our guard down. Glory be to God. Isn't it beautiful that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ has given us eternal life? We are so grateful to him that we love him and we thank him. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We come to encourage you and to inspire you to know that you are God's beloved, that he loves you. If God can't do it, then it just can't be done. God bless you again. As I say, that we come on each week on Sundays from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. Again, you can hear us on the same station dial from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. It is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. We hope that you will join in and listen to us as we have from 8:30 to 9 o'clock as Reverend Reed on Jeremiah Speaks. Again, that's 8:30 to 9. And from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, it is yours truly and the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Again, it's the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast from 9 o'clock a.m. till 10 o'clock a.m. This is where we like to go into the inner courts, go behind the veil, and worship God. We thank you so much for listening with us this week. All this week will be on for the next hour, and we ask that you sit back and abase yourself. One of the tunes that I heard when I was in Jamaica is called Carry Me by Kevin Downswell. Again, that's Carry Me by Kevin Downswell, and I just want you to enjoy it. It was a nice young man in Jamaica who danced to this tune, and it was truly awesome. Praises be to God. Amen. greatest help comes from the Lord. Truly, we are so grateful for the love, for the death of Christ who died for us. He loved us so much that he wanted us to carry his commandments in our heart, love unconditionally, and do the best that you can to treat others the way that you want to be treated. God love you, beloved, and I am here to encourage you to exalt, edify, and encourage the body of Christ as we worship him together in spirit and in truth. God bless you. You can reach us at Five Soul Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, West Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's Five Soul Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. God bless you.
Ministry radio broadcast. God bless you and have a nice evening. Bye-bye.